Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome to the Worst Idea of All Time, episode 14, in the secret fourth Sex and the City season. I've got to stop calling it secret, though, because it's out now.
By the time anyone's listening to him, the cat will be well and truly out of the bag, except for the hordes of people who choose not to engage with this product, to whom it will always remain a secret. Hiya, Tim.
Let's talk about those people. For the unafflicted, those who have not experienced or brushed up against the worst idea of all time, I salute you. I think your life is probably poorer for it. I think, much like the gospel, people who invite worst idea into their lives, it's really up to all of us to spread the good word, to let everyone else know how nice it is to be inside the cocoon.
There is nothing in the 21st century that I take more seriously than a podcast recommendation from literally anybody.
Yeah. They are truly... There actually is no equivalent. I was trying to... I mean, at least when people give you recommendations for a Netflix show, it's like, well, this probably cost a lot of money and involved a lot of professionals putting time into it and then had to be accepted by a very expensive digital platform. So there's a lot of gatekeepers to make sure that the product was good. Hey, you should listen to this podcast. It's funny. It's these guys having a fucking yarn about shit. It's real good. They're so funny. Fuck, they're funny. Fuck off. Hey.
You are... If you recommend your podcast or a podcast to people and expect them to take it seriously, you are a psychopath.
So how does one market a podcast then?
It's impossible, man. Just let it run its course.
It's so true. Yeah, like a virus.
This podcast is currently centered around us watching and discussing Sex and the City, the movie. Now, due to internet and time sort of constraints, we both watched the movie, I would say roughly 12 hours, no, more for me, like 16 hours ago. I woke up and watched the movie first thing this morning. I woke up to watch the movie first thing this morning in Goa, which is a district of India. And in the course of watching it, as we tried to organize the logistics, I discovered that we wouldn't be able to record until much later, till midnight here in India, which is what it is now. It's 10 past 12 a.m. What's the time where you are, Tim?
Right now it's 7:40 a.m.
That's quite a big time difference. And was Sex and the City the last thing you did yesterday?
No, you're actually right. And I said it was less than 12 hours. You're absolutely right. It was more. It was like whack bang in the middle of the day for me, which just, it's all bad, eh?
I tell you what, I reckon that
they're all bad times.
That midday screening, though, it's not to be trifled with. It's on the scale of times to watch the movie, you know, you at least feel like you get a morning and also an afternoon and evening to yourself. It is gross to have this protruding lump of cinema, you know, this abscess in the middle, but it could be worse. I think first thing is a nightmare. I think I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think taking it into the bedroom is bad for your mental health.
Yeah. It's unavoidable oftentimes because with the New York, New Zealand time zones, it'll have to be the last thing I do. I'm not a good sleeper guy. I never have been, really. So in some ways, I actually don't mind taking it to bed and just sort of drifting off to another outing with Carrie and the girls. And it really feels like it's not impeding any important bits of my day then as well.
Yeah,
so I'm
true.
not I'm not uh, I'm I probably prefer the last thing in the day. I prefer to get my day done, feel good about myself, and then sully my marital bed with Sex and the City from 2008.
It's coming in
at a crisp 2.5 hours.
Today, I've sort of bookended the entire day. I watched it this morning. As soon as I knew that I wouldn't be discussing it till later tonight, I thought, well, I could stop now and just, you know, put it off. And it is something that, you know, it's like homework when you're a student and you're just like, you know, some of your mates are like, they go home, they do it first thing so they can enjoy the whole night. That was not my approach. But I was like, if I just watch it now, then I don't have anything to worry about until midnight when I can discuss this. But it does mean that I have started and ended my day with intense sort of dissection and relation to Sex and the City. And you'd be unsurprised to hear, Tim, it doesn't get any better. If anything, it gets worse.
Have you just been mulling it all day, rolling around in your brain?
No. I sort of, you know, I went out for a lovely meal, so that took my mind off it. And, you know, I filled out the day with other, you know, I've been for a swim in the ocean, Tim. You know,
it's so nice, bro.
I've been keeping the company of about 30 cows. I saw a cow ejaculate today, Tim. It's not been a waste.
Well, let me stop you there, because surely that's a bull at that point.
That's right. It's not been a wasted day. This bull's penis was a lot leaner than I thought.
Run me through that. What was the circumstance in which you saw it? How was it all happening?
I think it's high season for the cows here in Goa. And so essentially there's sort of a feeding time around between 5 and 6 p.m. where the local cows, they all sort of hang out on the beach and a big bunch of food gets put out and they all sort of approach it. And one of the bulls, as you know, so often happens to the lads, simultaneously hungry and horny. And so he eats first. He's digesting. And his prospective mate still got a mouthful of hay or whatever the hell they're eating. And he sort of just sidles on over and goes to make himself felt. You know, and the dance of romance between cow and bull is, in a lot of ways, quite unique from the way humans sort of size one another up. And in other ways, very similar. But rest assured, fleeting and unenthusiastic sexual engagement transpired. And he wound up, he used the pull-out technique, this bull.
Ah. That's pretty clever for him, isn't it?
I don't think it was his call.
Okay.
But anyway, much thinner penis than I thought.
Sort of a long, thin genital.
A long, thin genital, that's right. But all that to say, you know, this has not been the sole event of my day. But
well, I don't know. In some ways it has, because you're still talking about sex that happened in a city. So it all comes back to it, doesn't it?
It's more of a resort. But, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about sex. To the movie? What do you reckon?
To the film. To the floor. I've got a theory, guy.
Yeah?
You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
So I created something in this watch called the Bumchin Club, or the BCC. And the Bumchin Club is inhabited by two men. Crud. I am devastated to report I've forgotten one of their names. It's the guy who makes the asshole comments while Samantha's speaking at the engagement dinner.
Yeah, I know.
What's
the guy.
What's his fucking name?
Does he get given a name? He's just a he's an asshole boss, isn't he?
He's a partner at the firm, but I thought they did give him a name. Hey, also, while I'm here, let's bookmark this for a second. This was quite a few episodes ago, or at least a long time ago, because we had a bit of a break between episodes like 11 and 12 or something. We had a debate about whether or not Will's name was said in the movie. It fucking is, man. I can't remember the exact conversation we had, but I remember this. I'm pretty sure I was right.
Yeah, I think you were right in that. I remember being firmly in the name's not said camp.
Your suggestion was that it came up, I think, like only once, very late in the film, when they actually are about to get married or something like that. But we hear it much earlier. Will, that's his name. I think that's a line of dialogue at the bar between Carrie and her.
Hey, look, I'm happy for you, man. As happy as I am for these mosquitoes who are crawling all over me. I'm just doing the research to try and find out the name of the... I don't know.
Is India a Zika country?
Pardon?
Can you get Zika, the Zika virus? Is it one of the ones on the list for Zika?
I'm not sure about Zika. Certainly, I took some anti-malarials for a while, but that was near Kolkata, which is the malaria zone. And they didn't really agree with me, so I've gone off them. Which does make the sort of surrounding and increased enthusiasm that these mosquitoes have towards my body ever so slightly more concerning than it otherwise would be.
I'm used to mosquitoes being an annoyance, and I have a particular sensitivity to mosquitoes. I hate them. I hate them vehemently. I hope that Bill Gates, in his quest to, number one, turn us all into big fat nerds, which he achieved by making an operating system that sort of housed a lot of creative enterprise, which allowed even normal people to just spend countless hours, thank you Carl, countless hours at the computer. But his second mission in life is to destroy all the mosquitoes, and I applaud that mission. I hope he achieves it. Pretty much. I think he hates them, pretty sure.
I feel like for how annoying they are, they must serve some vital, you know, role in the ecosystem.
They must be, because they're so numerous, they must be food for something important, right? Like lizards and spiders and... I think mosquitoes are one of the ones that they're considering harvesting for food. For humans. Because there's a lot of insects that are incredibly efficient at just being, like, protein. Way more efficient than, say, cows, aforementioned... land beasts.
That's right. Anyway, that's all by the by. We've got Carl and we've got Smith Jarrett. And what are they? Yeah. They're in the BCC.
They're in the Bumchin. Yeah, BCC. The BCC boys. They're in the Bumchin Club. And I've actually... so if you look, they've got that same beautiful chin that looks like a very shapely human ass. A butt. They've got Bumchins. And I reckon that Smith Garrett is... Sorry, I'll say that again. I think that Smith Garrett is the son of Carl. And I think that that's how Smith Garrett has been able to stick with his goal of acting for as long as he has. And I also think it's why, like, Samantha, I don't think, knows this, right? But she senses it. Which is why she tells him to shut the fuck up at that engagement dinner at the drop of the hat. Because she's like, this guy is familiar to me. I feel a familiarity. So I'm going to tell him he's out of line.
What? So obviously, I'm just curious about a few details of this theory, Tim.
You always are.
Smith's relationship with his father.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Not well. I don't think they see eye to eye at all. I think that... it's a situation where Carl has so much money from being a partner at this firm that he's felt obligated to keep his son afloat, but he in no way emotionally supports the decisions that Smith's made to pursue and stay in acting. And at this point, it's kind of an annoyance for him.
So
Samantha, he's embarrassed.
Samantha's not been introduced to Smith. Smith's dad, sorry.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't think they've been introduced. And I don't think Big knows. It's actually like very few people know about this relationship. Because, you know, when Carrie says, who is that guy? Big says, it's Carl, his partner at the firm. Not, that's Carl, it's Smith Garrett's father.
Well, yeah, I mean, Big is thinking purely in terms of his relation to the guy, right? Smith's at the dinner.
Yeah, he is.
And they're just playing it icy cool.
Yeah. This is like, I think there's been a phone call from Smith, I think, initiated it. Look, Dad, we're both going to be there. We're adults. Let's just get through it. We don't need to cause a scene. Little do they know, Steve is going to cause the scene, which leads me to my shining light just 15 minutes into this episode. Steve's very good depressed acting as he exits the cab is my shining light this episode. It's very good acting. He looks so downtrodden as he gets out of the car to have a chat to Miranda.
Yeah.
From the moment you see him on screen, he doesn't switch it on. He's there. He's in the moment. He's a good actor.
I like that little moment. I saw a few glimpses of good acting this morning, in spite of not wanting to be there. People continue to perform, you know, like a child humouring a mother who's enthusiastic about musicals. I bought the ticket, I sat down in the seats, and I did my due diligence. I thought, funnily enough, Miranda was turning, I mean, I've always got a soft spot for her, but was turning in a few little glimpses of magic. I just want to quickly circle back to this cleft chin thing, Tim.
Yeah.
Is it possible there's just two people who have bum chins who aren't related?
No.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that that's firm information now, that's canon. I look forward to dissecting that more as the story unravels. It does create quite a spicy social situation at that dinner, considering that we now know, I mean, for how much is going on with Smith Jarrett at that point in the film, doesn't he keep it together incredibly well? Here he is in a room with his estranged father who continues to bankroll his acting career, although I'd probably say he's standing on his own two legs by this point in his career.
Yeah.
He's sitting at a table across from his partner, Samantha, who is the maid of honour at Carrie's wedding. Also at the table is Miranda, a woman who has recently left her life partner and the father of her son because of a tryst between Smith and her former partner, who also will be arriving at some point and making direct eye contact and verbal communication with Smith outside the venue.
He doesn't know that at this point, though, so he can't anticipate that. He doesn't know that his ex-lover is coming in one of those big, beautiful cabs.
Ex-potentially current. I just think, you know, for having all of that stuff going on, like, he keeps it together incredibly well. I've always got respect for people who seem to be able to hold their head high in socially awkward or uncomfortable situations. So shout out to the boy Smith for keeping his shit together in spite of circumstances conspiring against him this week. Speaking of those cabs, Tim, I don't know if you've heard, there's a man and a woman who are walking through frame as Steve arrives and turns on that fantastic acting display. And he's not the only person looking to steal that scene, because the woman sees the cab. This is a woman with an American accent, presumably, who lives in New York, and says, "Oh my God, it's a cab." With a level of surprise that would suggest
she's what is that about?
Come across this fairly common occurrence in her storied life as a New Yorker.
What is that about? That's a bad line of dialogue.
Well, it's also one of those ones where you don't see her mouth move, so they could have just edited it out, but they've left it in. I mean, I feel like that would be a really fun person to check out New York with. Oh my God, a hot dog stand. Oh my God, a building.
Oh my God, people.
Every single day.
There's something that's instantly gratifying, but eventually super annoying. Sort about of that level of enthusiasm for everything you encounter. A fire hydrant, fuck! Like
someone who has a goldfish who's accidentally been turned into a human and has retained the nouns for which things are, but none of the information that they've seen them before. So her whole life in the bowl, she's just been swimming around, glimpsing images of New York on a computer screen or through a window or on TV. And then finally, I'm with the ability around to articulate certain things. Move out of my way. I'm a little fish and I live in a bowl.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Can I just quickly divulge it's not relevant, Tim, but it is about fish.
Yep.
So I play in a fantasy football league, American football.
Fucking congrats.
Thanks, bro. I get a lot of professional and personal interest from a lot of different people because of this detail of my life. But this season, to spice things up and motivate people to win, even if their season's gone down the tubes, we've introduced something called the Ranfurly Fish, which is it's called the Fish Bowl. And so at the start of the season, the newest member of the league was the holder of the fish, and you don't want to have the fish. And every week, if they play a home game, as deemed by the way the schedule unfurls, the mm-hmm. fish is up for grabs. And if you lose the fish bowl, then you become the holder of the Ranfurly Fish, which involves posting various different images of fish on social media.
Uh-huh.
And if you retain the fish through to the end of the season, an honour that I currently have, at season's end, you have to buy and care for a real-life fish.
Oh, no. This is incompatible with your life.
Intervening 7 months between the end of the season and the beginning of the next season.
You moved to New York City from Auckland, New Zealand. This isn't suited to your particular lifestyle, mate.
All that to say, if I can find some sort of shaman or wizard or witch who can turn the fish I inevitably will wind up buying into a person, perhaps some sort of caretaker in my apartment, mm-hmm. all of my problems could be solved.
No, not at all, because then you're dealing with a human, which has far more needs than a fish.
But a human whose top level of intelligence is that of a smart goldfish.
That is such a far bigger nightmare than I think you're given credit for. I mean, a goldfish, you're going to need to feed it. Once in a while, you're going to need to clean the tank. Done. A human, you kidding me? Social, emotional needs. You could get a bed for that thing.
I don't know.
Feed it a ton of food.
She was out and about in New York City this morning. It looked like she was having a wonderful time, being surprised and startled by literally the most commonplace things.
Do you think you're going to wind up with this fish guy? Is the season blowing out for you?
Yeah, look, it's looking more likely than not that I will be in possession of an unwanted fish at the end of the season. It is, I would say, it's a league of 12 people. I would say it is comfortably the least convenient for me.
Yeah. What would you put your odds at of winding up with the fish?
Remarkably high. At this point, it feels like a near certainty. Anyway, that's all just a minor insert.
Stop writing off your good content as being beside the point, guy. I think it's time that you realize it is the point. All of these little asides, this is the meat. Stop degrading them. Stop devaluing them. Roll with it. Celebrate yourself.
Did you say degrading?
Yeah, I did. I did. I'll own that.
Okay, well, seeing as you've shared a shining light, I feel like it would only be fair if I did the same thing.
Yeah, boy.
Oh,
sorry, before you do, though, just while I remember, the whole Smith Garrett around how you were saying he's really keeping it together in trying circumstances. I think the one glimpse we have that he's under a lot of stress is how he holds the cigar while he's outside. Because if you look at everyone else who's hanging out with Runkle and his illegal Cuban cigars that he loves so much, they're all holding them like normally, but Smith Garrett's trying to do the Arnie one where you like put it under the crook of your index finger and he just looks like a fucking idiot. But it's like, I respect the look you're going for, my dude, but you haven't quite hit it. It's kind of like the hat he wears later on in the movie when they break up.
I think he carries the hat. Wouldn't wear it myself, but I feel like the guy pulls it off. I know exactly what you're talking about with the cigar, though. I just thought that was, he was, you know, he was with an older generation trying to fit in. It could be multiple things. But my shining light's near the end of the film. It's actually one of the last beats. It's right after Carrie and Big get married. And he says, it's a shame the girls couldn't be here. And she says,
spoiler alert, everyone.
She says, no, it's fine. And then he goes, well, that's why I asked them. And she does a very cute scream. He blows open the double doors, and there they are, Charlotte, Samantha, Miranda, all sort of, you know, excitedly screaming that things worked out. In spite of the jilting, they've found one another, they're happy. And Big does this reveal as a point of pride in his planning and execution as a recently minted husband.
Yeah.
A very cute and proud thing with his tongue, where he sort of puts it between his teeth, like he can't contain or effectively express how happy he is to see him making his partner this happy.
Yeah.
And both in the acting by Chris Noeth and the scripting and just that little moment of happiness, that little beat in the story, I really liked it. And yeah, I mean, to the credit of the movie, there's twice in the last two screenings where I've felt sort of a pang of positivity or hope or something near the end of the film, which is usually a time reserved for the depths of misery. So just, you know, credit where it's due.
It is a beautiful moment. It is nice, and he displays it well. It's cute. It's not infuriating. I'm actually hoping to capture some of that Reverend Chris Noeth magic soon as well for my wife. I'm trying to throw her a surprise birthday party. Because her birthday's very early into the new year, so she always gets shafted out of an actual birthday because everyone's, you know, out of town, or if they're in town, coming down from pingers.
Yeah.
So what I thought this year, try and get all your mates together at our place about a week after or so. I'm also giving some strong consideration to getting her a particular present that's going to be, it's going to have inherently a lot of responsibility to it. So it's a dog, guy. I'm thinking of getting her a dog. What do you think about that?
A huge undertaking, Tim.
Yeah, if I decide against it now, it's probably bad to solidify this on a recording of the podcast, but you know, it's early, my defenses are down. What do you reckon about getting someone a dog as a surprise? Because on the one hand, I know she'll fucking love it, but on the other hand, it's like, hey, here's a thing you have to look after for till it dies. Well, happy birthday.
I think your outlook is immediately off there. It's a thing that we have to look after, right?
Yeah, undoubtedly, yeah.
Hey, look, man, you've got a lot more intel on that situation than I do. I think it's fucking crazy to be giving people surprise dogs. Here's a surprise that will last at least 10 years.
Yeah. You've seen her around dogs, though. She goes wild for the things. She fucking
loves
got
friends,
a dog.
We've got friends who have given surprise dogs before, and I think that's worked out. I mean, look, it's a judgment call, Tim, and this feels like neither the time nor the place.
Exactly the place to flesh this out. I'm going to do it after this talk with you.
You're going to buy
it. You've instilled me with no confidence, but I reckon I will, actually. I think I will.
That's sweet. I'm very excited and happy for you.
By the time you hear this, I could be a dog man.
Yeah. Speaking of dogs and animals, and also Mr. Big, there's another moment I quite enjoyed. Not quite to the point of a shining light, but the reunion between Carrie and Big and the wardrobe, where immediately she says, it was love, you know, and they run towards each other. I'll be interested for your take on this, because we often disagree over the showings of intimacy between Big and Carrie.
I just don't like people kissing people on the nose with an open mouth. It fucking weirds me out. That's all. That's my sole issue.
I sort of immediately graduate beyond like the open mouth enthusiasm of, you know, lovers reunited and that sort of kiss, and go for a slightly more animalistic kind of face grazing thing where they rub their faces against each other like animals, I guess.
Do you see that as animalistic? That is the last adjective I'd use to describe that. I think it's very tender. They like rub their cheeks together.
Yeah, I think that's like that's to me like what big cats do. That's what animals do to each other. I don't think.
I guess you're right. It is literally animalistic. But when someone says animalistic, I always think of like a lot of aggression, a lot of like aggressive sexual energy. Whereas that's quite a moment of tenderness, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I much prefer watching them do that. That feels so sincere and real to me, as opposed to like, you know, because I feel like the amount of pent up excitement and energy they have for each other, you can't communicate that with an open mouth kiss in that moment, because it's just too, you've got to be more relaxed to enjoy the kiss. This is a much more like base level evolutionary thing where it's like you just want that skin on skin contact.
Do you think it's better or worse than just opening your mouth and inserting someone's nose in there in terms of sweetness?
Yeah, look, we're talking about two different sort of events, but I think it's comfortably better. I mean, while
they're both displays of affection, guy. Well, I'm not. And they're both on the table for this couple, apparently.
Firmly against the nose kisses as you are. That doesn't mean to say that it's a go-to thing that I enjoy. It just doesn't bother me like it bothers you.
It sure does bother me. Hey, well, nice. So not a shining light, but more of a glowing beam.
Yeah, that's right.
I finally found a fucking continuity error in this film. It only took, what are we up to, about 14 viewings?
Yeah.
1 hour, 6 minutes in. They're in the hotel in the Mexican, they're in the restaurant downstairs. Carrie's finally come out of her Mexicoma and decided that she can join the girls for a dinner. And I think the mariachi band are just about to come in, and the waiter is serving all the gals their drinks. He's got a bunch of margaritas and a what looks to me like a smart water. I'm not actually sure of the brand, but I think it is, judging by the blurry label. I think it's the same design as smart water that you get. And on the bottled water, it clearly doesn't have a bottle cap on it, but then we cut to Charlotte taking the cap off the water, and I saw that and I rewound it. I said, hold on, let's check the video referee on this one. I wound back the tape, I had a look, and I screamed, got you fuckers, to myself in a studio with nothing but me and Sex in the City. And in that moment I knew they actually had gotten me, but it's still a continuity error that's in the film.
It's important work, Tim. If not for you, you know, how would this information weasel its way into the public eye?
And I know.
How would we know not to trust anyone involved in Hollywood, movie making, Cynthia Nixon as a politician on the back of this deceitful move?
Yeah.
Yeah. Triggered much call, everybody. Though. Yeah, it is her call. It's her responsibility. Okay. Know
she
your
was
place.
On continuity.
Yeah, she was. God. That was how she got the job in the first place. She started continuity.
Can we talk about the recent news? It's recent for when we recorded this. This would be old news now. About Sex and the City 3. Because I think this we need to discuss.
Absolutely.
Do you want me to explain? Or do you want to explain what's happened?
You fill your boots, man. I'll ship it from the side.
News has come to light, and I believe that this is off the bat. I've kind of been skimming the headlines. I haven't. I'd read one article, I think, in Time about it. I think this is off the back of someone doing a Sex and the City podcast where they got to talk to various people. Mattress Pike Luke King has been interviewed for it. Sarah Jessica Parker. In fact, all of the key players, they say, except for Kim Cattrall, who has just quite admirably, I think, at the age of 61, just said, no, you know what, it's not an animosity thing, it's not a money thing, I'm just done. I'm done with Sex and the City, I'm done with the character of Samantha Jones. I'm like, fucking respect, man, I get it. So anyway, it has come to light during these interviews that the plan for Sex and the City 3, which was seemingly definitely going to happen were it not for Kim Cattrall's, you know, lukewarm feeling about it. Big was going to die in a shower. This movie was going to play through the events of a newlywed Carrie Bradshaw and John James Jingleheimen Smith, Big, as she has to cope with being a widow after he, like, presumably slips over. Anything you read?
I did. He has heart problems, which is seeded throughout the TV show.
So oh, really?
He was going to have a heart attack out of the blue. And then the movie was going to follow Carrie's, you know, navigation of life as a newly minted widow. And that was what turns Kim Cattrall off, as she said, look, frankly, I'd be much more interested in a movie where Samantha Jones has purpose and ambition beyond supporting her recently widowed friend, which as an actor, I think is a great decision. If you think of her embodying the character of Samantha Jones, it's selfish.
True to form.
But I don't think... I mean, Samantha seems to be, with regards to her friends, a fantastic friend. She's glue-like. Think about her in Sex and the City. She's the one who books every... In both movies, she's a huge catalyst for action. She gets them to Abu Dhabi. She gets them to Mexico. She clearly prioritizes supporting Carrie over her own work. Miranda says... I've got a job, and then Samantha sort of gestures towards a despondent Carrie who's been jilted. Speaking of which, I did not feel like Big earned the right to jilt this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like when have you thought that that was an entitlement he deserved?
It's not that I've thought it's something he deserved, but it's something that I've sort of just taken as read that he's gonna be a no show at the wedding. But this week I was like,
oh, I see.
Big, you gotta do more. I need a clear cut reason. I need a bullet point list detailing the terms and conditions of why you're not getting married. Because as far as I can tell, you're in a funk. You're outside the library where you're getting married. And you go, come on, baby, give me, like, tips. Look at me or something. Which she does, just through her veil. And he interprets that as some sort of sign from the universe that this union's not meant to be. It is.
I never got that moment. There's a few moments in this movie I've never understood. That's one of them. I don't get it.
It's just not, it's like, come on, man. Come on, baby.
What does he say? Like, I need to see you or something like that, just for a moment. Something like that. And then he does. But it's not enough for him. He still bails. So I get what you're saying, guy. The logic is not strong. It's not really built up as to... We don't have a clear path to him bailing on this. I keep hearing a clicking. Is that you on your computer or what? What's happening here?
Yeah, that's me sort of just making sure that the recording's still going well.
Okay, cool.
And it's a problem that exists solely to you, Tim. I'm sure it's not being picked up on the microphone. This is from a man who recorded next to an operational R&B throwback concert in a park last time we spoke.
But that was for Colour Guy. That was intentional. That was, you know, it was all part of it. Whereas just a clicking reminds me that you... I always think you're doing... I think you're up to no good. I always think you're plotting something.
There's no plots over here, my friend.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Tim, I'm so tired.
Yeah, me too, man. But for the opposite reason, because it's morning here. I've had a whole cup of coffee while we've been talking, and I'm still sleepy, so I'm out of ideas. I was so fucking furious at you when I woke up, because all I wanted to do was lie in bed. I was just like, fuck me. I could, were it not for the podcast recording, I could be in here for another 2 hours comfortably and still like not run out of runway of day and time. But I've got to get up and talk about Sex and the City, number 14.
Well, rest assured, Tim, I very happily stayed up until midnight for the sole purpose of discussing Sex and the City with you. So,
What have you been doing up until the record time? Like, between when your sort of normal bit of day ended and the podcast, what'd you do to fill the time?
Well, the touring party went for a drink, and I said, no, not for me, thanks. I've got bigger fish to fry. And then I lay in my room reading How Not to Be a Boy by Robert Webb of that Mitchell and Webb look.
I bought that and never read it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
I heard him on an interview and he was so compelling that I was like, fuck, I'm going to read that book. And I didn't, but I bought it, so he's still got my money. I supported him.
And then I had a little nap, set an alarm, woke up, ready to record.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. You should be mad at me, too. We should be mad at each other.
No one's mad at anyone. We're friends.
I know, I'm mad at you. I told you that.
No. We love each other. Be mad at
the movie. We do love each other. That's the whole reason we're doing this season. How long till we really, really regret getting back in the swimming pool, do you think? I don't regret it yet because I still really enjoy catching up with you, even though it's through this thick fog.
Yeah, it's not... The regret will grow. I wouldn't say I stamp... I know that there are episodes that we've released in this season so far in which I express almost an unbridled, unchecked amount of enthusiasm for diving back into it. That moment has passed.
That ship has sailed, huh?
Before we go, Tim, which yeah? I am trying to do desperately.
I know, I can tell. That's why I'm trying to prolong the inevitable. Go on.
There is an unsung hero in this movie that we're going to hear and find out a lot more about. It is the very obedient border collie who Steve and Miranda share. In fact, this movie does a bad job of showcasing the various different responsibilities of being a pet owner. Samantha sort of shows you how much can go into it. But there's a beautiful...
Everyone's got a dog but Carrie, actually.
Does Charlotte?
Charlotte's got three.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, true. Anyway, border collie up on the bed after Steve's confessed to cheating. He gestures for the dog to get off. I just want to know more about their border collie. They're very intelligent dogs. They're, you know, I'm not familiar with a dog that size being allowed in the bed. I think that's quite a unique rule that they've introduced. Maybe part of the reason they haven't been having sex so much is there's a dog between them. But I was just happy to... I hadn't really noticed it before, and I was really happy to see a beautiful border collie living its best life.
I'd love to see a spin-off movie that just follows the dogs of Sex and the City. That would be cool. That'd be so nifty. Oh, before we go, though, as well, because I introduced a new segment last week, pop quiz, motherfucker. What is written, it's one word, on the bucket held by Lily when they're going trick-or-treating in the building?
Does it say candy?
No. But that's a good guess.
Does it say Cinderella?
Nah.
Feed me?
No. Should I tell you?
Yes.
It says milk.
Oh, because...
There's no reason why.
No, there is. Her mum's a cow.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
it would be part of Charlotte's outfit.
Do you have a question for me? Because I did intend for both last time and this time for you to throw a question at me, but it hasn't happened so far.
Do you know, when I was watching the movie this morning, all I was doing, apart from watching the movie, was trying to remember the name and premise of the segment. something I did unsuccessfully. So I didn't actually pull out a single detail for you to enjoy.
But surely you've got in the recesses of your mind something from the last 14 watches that you can quiz me on.
Had I not spoken about the border collie already, I would have said, what breed of dog do...
Fuck, I never would have got that. I never would have got that it's a border collie. Not in your nally. All right, well, we can park that for now.
Yeah, gladly. Hey, Tim, I love you, man. I'm sorry,
you
I
too,
feel
guy.
Like I've been a bit flat this episode, but, you know...
No, just... you're all good. It's late, you're in Goa, you've potentially contracted Zika and malaria, but you did the podcast, and that's the important thing. The experiment must continue, and it will. So we'll see you next episode, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Please, you know, if you feel a tug at the heartstrings, we do get paid now because there's ads on the podcast, which is very helpful for us to continue operations. But we also make bonus content for our friends and whānau, that means family, in te reo, over on the Patreon, patreon.com/TWI. OAT. So we'll see you there. We'll see you on this. Guy, I'll see you in New York next.
Who's to say? Probably not. Probably LA. Fucking hell.
Intrepid boy. I love it. You're doing it, man. You're living. You're out there.
We are.
Spending money you don't have.
We are out here. Okay, that's enough.
Carbon footprint. Bye, yeah, guy.
Yeah. Bye.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.